Geek Actually is brought to you by listeners just like you. Thanks for your donations. If you want to get involved, send an email to feedback@geekactually.com or use the contact form on the website. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 37 for the 24th of May, 2009. Yes, that's right, the 24th. It is Sunday. I know we're late.
But that's only in the Southern Hemisphere.
But we are here. Sorry, due to guest schedule conflicts and general exhaustion, we are a couple of days late. But we are finally here.
Yes, schedule conflict. Yeah, because I was busy with Martin Scorsese.
I actually wasn't talking about you. That grumpy voice you hear across the desk from me is Miran Lee. She's up from Melbourne for a week and a half. And so we've been lucky to get her in studio. And on Skype, I have the lovely Miss Katrina Smith. How are you?
Good. How's everybody?
Not too bad.
I miss you, Katrina. I wish you were in the studio with me.
Me too. If bits of me weren't falling off or imploding, I'd be there.
Is the love fest over now?
Yeah,
sorry, it's late. It's late. I'm grumpy. We're going to keep moving. We're recording in the evening, and we normally record in the morning, and I'm just grumpy.
They don't know that.
He's ready for his little lie down and a rust.
I am. My lovely wife Katie is making curry, and we could be down there eating. And, there's so many things we could do.
6 in the afternoon, as if you would be eating now. You are a pensioner.
All right, get stuffed. All right, we're going to get this show on the road. I would normally at this point say, this is our wonderful feedback, but really we haven't had much feedback. I do know...
Hi, Ben.
Ben is actually, and for those who haven't been following, Ben Straw from Ben's Tech Show sent us a lovely voicemail a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying he was going to do another one, but he actually wasn't on air last week because he's heard his voice.
Oh, Ben.
Excuse me. So that's why he's not sending us any voicemails, I'm sure. But what I do have,
I
want
to know how he hurt his jaw. That's a bit...
Not his voice.
His voice.
So we wish you a speedy recovery, and I'm waiting for this week's episode. So get on to it, Ben.
Yeah. What did you say, Katrina?
Said maybe you went to a football match and yelled too loud or something.
Although what we do have is we don't have general feedback. We do have some feedback on the last show.
We do?
We actually have three separate feedbacks on the last show, and it all comes from the same person, which is our lovely friend Atomic Betty. Sorry?
She's groovy.
She is groovy. But her feedback is generally stuff that was about last week's show. So things like, I'm excited and anxious about Wake and Fright in equal measure. It was, without a doubt, the most disturbing book I've ever read. I've never seen the film, but just the brief clip you played made my chest tighten. Can't wait to see it, but might choose an early session, followed by something like Night at the Museum 2 to mitigate the effect.
Does the Northern Hemisphere know that this is just an Australian...
We actually talked about this last week. Okay. Last week on the show.
Oh, you're
last week?
Here.
Yeah, last week on the show. Jacob actually got to see it at an industry screening. For those who didn't catch last week, Wake and Fright is a 1971 Australian film which basically disappeared. It only ever got one network showing on television and just vanished.
What a surprise.
And it is considered to be quite a masterpiece, but nobody knew where the prints were. So they managed to find some decent prints of this film in America under its other name, because in America it was released under the title Outback. And they still didn't find a negative, but they managed to digitize it and clean it up, and they've restored Wake and Fright, and they're going to put it back into limited release in the cinemas, and then it's going to go onto DVD. Jake got a chance to go see it at the industry screening and said it was just brilliant.
I have to say how weird it is in Australia, for those that don't know. We do actually have an archive, to keep our films
Absolutely.
And do all that, but we still lose them.
The archive,
The more classical they are, the more they get lost. it's bizarre to lose
The interesting
them.
Thing is, I think Wake and Fright is now part of the archive, which is what this whole thing was about. The interesting point that we were making, though, was that it's directed by Ted Kotcheff, who's an American. And so he actually came out here and made this quiz essentially Australian film. But once again, getting that outsider's viewpoint in is sometimes the way to do it. She also said to Vale Bud Tingwell, we talked about that last week as well, What a loss. Universally loved Australian entertainment icon. We don't have too many of those.
And he directed me, too. He directed me in the Flying Doctors, the pilot here, and he was a really nice man. And did you say that we used to get him in for workshops?
Yeah, yeah.
Bud was one of those really sweet people that would go to the opening of an envelope, and he was really sweet. And I was speaking to a bunch of young actors the other day. I said one of the reasons I think they gave him in this – I mean, people in the Northern Hemisphere – take this on board. They gave him a state funeral in Melbourne, which is very weird to give a state funeral to an actor because we don't even do that in Hollywood. But the thing is, these young actors are saying, I know, it's kind of weird, isn't it? It's like one of our last older actors. I mean, it's true, isn't it, Katrina? Like when that, remember we had Ruth Cracknell die, she was an older actress, and people went, oh my God. And you get to the point in Australia where it's like, we don't have many older actors that stay in the business, not like in England or America.
And we have a lot of next tier down, older actors,
yeah,
because
yeah.
my father did television commercials for about 15 years in the 80s, and a lot of her people would be coming into that 80s line, and I see her contemporaries coming up in TVCs all the time. So it's not, I know what you're saying, it's that A-level list is thinning out, but there's still a lot of the B-level.
Well, the problem is that actors in Australia who are in their 50s or 60s, let's say, first of all, the casting says elderly, which of course nowadays just doesn't count. So it's, they don't know what they really want when they're doing the casting. And the second thing is people who are in their 50s and 60s haven't been keeping their skills up, and not like where they're still, you know, workshopping in America and England and stuff. And so we've got this real, like you're saying, that tier of generation that you really, really struggle to get good actors in that age range. Now, Bud was in his 80s, and I mean, I can't even name another actor in his 80s.
Working today,
that, you know, so it's very odd.
What about Ray Barrett? What age is he?
I was thinking about Ray Barrett, but I'm not sure he's that old.
What's interesting about Bud is that we mentioned last week that he's had his name put down on a plaque outside the Ritz Cinema out here on their quote-unquote Walk of Fame, which
that's
really
very funny.
Is only started just recently. But over this last week, people have actually been taping flowers to his plaque and the poles around his plaque. People really did love him. I mean, he really was a sweetheart.
He was a sweet, darling man, and he was a consummate professional.
And they were also very grateful that he, when he went away and became, you know, well-known in England and stuff like that, he actually came back here and continued to work in the industry here. So, yeah, I mean, it's a real loss. He's a real sweetheart.
The last thing that Atomic Betty wrote to us after the last show was, for those who don't know, Atomic Betty's first name is actually Sheila, and she's written here, the most unbelievable thing about the girl in the PC ad is her name. For those who haven't seen the Microsoft PC ad, her name is Sheila. And she says, no modern, bright, young thing is going to have been burdened with the name Sheila. It peaked in popularity in 1960 and has been in the cellar ever since. And unfortunately, a mention in this goofy ad isn't going to do its cause any favors. I'm sure I speak for Sheilas everywhere when I say, thanks for nothing, Microsoft.
That's pretty funny. I just looked him up, and he was born in 27. So that means that he is 73, he's 82, yeah. So there you go.
My mother's 83, but he's 82.
Yeah.
Because my mother's 83 and she was born in 1926.
That's right. And the last thing he was in Australia. So there you go. I mean, he hasn't been doing, and before that was 2004. So he's kind of semi-retired. So it's just, it's a really weird thing in Australia. So any actors.
He was doing theater though.
Yeah, well, yeah, it could be. That's possible. Yeah. So,
anyway, so that's our feedback for the week. Unfortunately, we didn't have very much.
I think we should ask for feedback out there on Barrett's name. And
good point. Yeah. Okay, there's something that has cropped up over the last day, which is the actress I shouldn't even say it.
All right, well, let me
Gene Roddenberry's wife.
I get a thing called, anybody who's interested in voiceovers out there, there is voices.com. It's an online voiceover service, and they put out a daily newsletter called Vox Daily with just little things about it. And they did an article on Gene Roddenberry's wife the other day with a different pronunciation of her first name. So.
Okay. So throughout my entire life and the fact that I've actually met the woman and I saw her announced, I have always been under the impression that her name is pronounced Majel Barrett Roddenberry. Her name is spelled M-A-J-E-L. Mm. Now, according to this newsletter, she says that her name is pronounced how, Miren?
Mabel. Come.
She says her name is Majel, pronounced Mabel.
So I doubt it.
So we did a little bit of quick smart research this afternoon, and we came across an old Entertainment Tonight report, which actually introduced her as Majel Barrett. Mm. And we also found a site, what was it called again? Whatever it was, which was about pronunciations. And it says it's pronounced Majel. And according to another site, which was talking about it, the like genealogy of names, they actually say that the name comes from an African name and is pronounced M-A-Y-G-E-L, Majel. So, according to all of these, they say it's Majel. She's actually said it's Majel. The announcers have said it's Majel, but this woman has said it's Mabel. What do you think, Katrina?
I think it's Majel. Somebody said it's to call it Mabel.
So I'll let you know if there's a retraction.
Let us know about that.
Yeah. How hard.
Let's see how she goes. Now, speaking of Majel Barrett and speaking of Star Trek and Gene Roddenberry, I believe you, we reviewed it last week, but I believe you went to see Star Trek, Katrina.
So I'm the only one who hasn't
seen
it.
Ow, my ears.
All right.
I got to go see this movie.
I'll just tell you, I know you've reviewed it, but I have to say, is in, to quote my sister, Robin, it made me happy. I went to another friend whose leg I jiggled. I had little excited hands in the air, and I had little clappy hands when something made me happy. And I was so happy. Did you do spoilers?
Yes, we did. But we won't do spoilers
the guy
now.
In red got killed.
What? What do you what?
The guy in red.
Oh, yes, yes, the guy in red. Don't be mad to a planet in a red shirt.
Yeah.
The use, I, as you and Mirren both know, that Mirren and I have a deep and abiding love for Simon Pegg. He was beautifully used. I love the fact that none of the characters were fully formed.
Yeah.
I'm speaking slowly because I'm on Skype and I sound like I'm underwater. So
that's
I'm just
a good idea.
Heavily medicated. I'm just trying to clear.
Good girl.
So it was so exciting, you know, like seeing, you know, Scotty, not quite cool, and, you know, the comedy between the Kirk and Bones, you know, the bitter little divorced man.
Yeah, David told me about that.
Shooting him for those injections and just worse and worse things. And then I was so happy when he was bonking a green chick. How good was that? And then just to sum it up, I mean, apart from, yes, the special effects were great, and yes, the story barreled along and nobody was cool, they weren't in their own skins yet. What I loved was that when he came on the bridge at the very end, he did the little William Shatner head jiggle.
That's what David said.
I was just so happy. And I thought, oh, you got it right. You didn't cock it up.
Yeah. So the question is, Katrina, did you see the Onion report on this?
No, I did not.
All right. I want you to have a listen to this. Just careful because it could be a little bit loud. I want you to have a listen to this and see if you agree with what the Onion had to say.
Turning to entertainment, Star Trek fans are decrying the latest film in the long-running series as a fun and watchable action-packed thrill ride.
Yes, it was exciting, but where was the heavy-handed message about tolerance? Where was the stiff acting? I mean, it just didn't seem like a Star Trek movie to me.
I'm just really, really disappointed that this storyline made sense.
If I wanted to see young, attractive people doing cool, exciting things, I'd go watch sports.
And with us now to discuss the backlash is entertainment reporter Bree Lindsey.
Hi, Glenn.
Bree, is this Star Trek as riveting as the fans are complaining it is?
Glenn, early reviews are calling it a delightful action-adventure movie and a surefire hit.
No wonder the fans feel betrayed here.
Apparently.
So what do you think, Katrina?
Gorgeous.
Isn't that gorgeous?
But did any of the people I talked to have lumpy foreheads?
Yes. They're all in costume.
And what? And one lady was upset because they subtitled the Klingon. And I've got another Vox Daily thing here, so now that we know we can't trust her, but still, it's all about the voices. And this cracked me up because one up with the Simon Pegg that you and I love, it says, Simon Pegg knew James Doohan's son, Chris, and chose to slightly shift his character Scotty's accent from Aberdeen to Glaswegian. He said, half my family is Scottish and my wife's Scottish. I had some leeway, and so I made Scotty's accent northwestern Scottish, just above Glasgow, but pretty Glaswegian. And I thought, what? How specific are we going to get?
And then, you see, I worked in Scotland for 4 months. So I can tell you that they do change from the Highlands to, you know, the Glaswegians.
Well, there you go. And David thought that the Russian guy was Russian, and it turns out he was Russian.
He is Russian.
But the mistake is, because somebody said, oh, no, he's Russian, so it's a real accent. But what it was that he went to America when he was 6 months old, and then he had to work. So he had to work on that. So that's not his real accent. So I thought that was interesting because, you know, people are thinking it is because people are just saying, Jake, I think, said it to David. Oh, yeah, he's Russian.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when he was 6 months old, thanks very much.
Yeah, well, hello. I mean, we could have all been brought up in Japan and, you know, hello.
So, I mean, the woman was saying, though, and I think it's a very valid point. She's saying one of the things that's so great about the film is that there are such great voices that, you know, everybody, you know, matches the way they should sound.
Jack Kuhl was the guy being Spock. And I looked at his hand and I thought, there's something wrong with your hand. And that was before I heard that he couldn't make the Vulcan symbol with his hand.
I can't either.
He had to super glue his fingers together.
Oh, that's...
I can do it with my left hand, but I can't do it with my right hand.
As
we discussed in last week's show, apparently William Shatner could never do it either. They used to fishing line his fingers together.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So Leonard Nimoy came up with this thing that half the cast couldn't do.
Oh, I love that. Oh, did Leonard Nimoy come up with
that? Yeah, apparently Jake was actually telling me last week, I didn't know. Apparently, it's actually a Jewish thing done with the Jewish clerics and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but Jake said that guy was Russian.
He was Russian.
That disappointed me, I will have to say, I will be the little boring critic and say, what the fuck was Winona Ryder doing there? How jarring was that?
Well, you know what? It's funny that you mentioned that.
Why Not Forever is in it?
Yeah, wait. But the thing is... That was. It's interesting you say that because when I saw the film the first time, I actually went, I know her from somewhere, but I could not pinpoint her until the end credits.
And then you thought, oh, that shop where she did those, picked up those things.
I actually didn't mind her at all. I thought she actually did a very good job. She plays Spock's mother. She's all under aging makeup.
I agree with you, Katrina. I haven't seen it.
Oh, don't say
it.
You haven't even seen it.
So irritating.
Stupid.
No, I thought she did a good job, and I thought that I didn't even recognize her the first time through. So I
think she should go shoplift us something and stay out of action.
All right, let's. What?
Sideways Winona note. Last night on Sydney Television, really, and that wasn't too late, was Alien Resurrection, where she played the robot.
Yeah,
she's not human. Oh, God.
And it was like, oh, I hate being this thing. It's disgusting. And I thought, what a shit actress. Like, oh, God.
She couldn't
it was
even.
Like every time she said the word fuck, it just didn't work. It was like, I know you can swear in real life. Why are you being so hopeless doing it on TV?
One of the only actresses in the world who can't deliver Joss Whedon dialogue. Go figure.
No, she's hopeless. I don't know why. How she became an actress. Well, who else do we care? Oh, yes, we're also going to slam Farrah Fawcett.
You're
going to slam Farrah Fawcett, and then you'll probably go to hell.
Well, I'm already going for so many things, and all my friends are there anyway, so it doesn't matter. Come on, everybody's got to have a little bit of agreement on this. Come on. I read the article 2 weeks.
David, what do you want to talk about next before she launches into Farrah Fawcett?
Let her get Farrah Fawcett off her chest.
It's just very quick. It's just that it's Hypocrite of the Week, and I think we could have it as this regular segment, Hypocrite of the Week. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I read the article on how she is so upset because the paparazzi won't leave her alone to die in peace. And this is so she can promote her documentary about dying. I'm sorry. I you've got to admit that's a little bit, you know, odd. I mean, look, holding my rosary.
There's money on the line. If Americans have no health care, then maybe the chick needs the money from the documentary.
Well, maybe so. But I still think, you know, I get a little bit sick of the paparazzi bashing by people who are out there trying to get the paparazzi to take their picture. I mean, we didn't watch Paul Newman dying. You know, there's lots of people that know how to stay out of the spotlight.
Yes, maybe he had adequate health cover and didn't have to have a documentary made to pay for it. Look, I've seen scenes out of it from Entertainment This Week all last week.
Oh, you just like the rosary because you're Catholic.
No. It was really, I mean, and I worked on an AIDS ward. So I'm telling you, watching this chick get iller and what her friend's doing videoing her, it's just really, it's uncomfortable. And I don't know what the purpose is.
I find the whole thing a little icky is what I find.
Yeah.
I mean, she had breast cancer and she said, go and get your breast checked. Or she had ovarian cancer and said, go and get your ovaries checked or whatever bit of you squeezed or checked or whatever, then maybe. But I don't understand what she's trying to achieve.
I read that yesterday. I mean, you know, we all know that anal cancer must be a pain in the ass.
Oh.
But, you know, she he's trying.
May I remind the listeners at this point that all views expressed on Zeke actually are my soul.
No, but I mean, she's saying that she's trying to bring awareness to something that doesn't get talked about, like anal cancer. Anal cancer. She's got.
Has she?
And they said that it could have either been from smoking or there. I'm sorry. I want to say I won't. But no, there was, and they said anal cancer can be caused by. I've forgotten what they are now. And you're thinking, sitting there going. But really, raising awareness of anal cancer, is this really what we're doing? No, we're not. We're just trying to stay in the spotlight. I'm sorry. It doesn't
sit
right.
Well, there's two things you need to, I'm going to just be, a little devil's advocate here.
Avocado,
one, she might need the money for her health care.
Well,
and two, maybe she's got metastases gone to her brain and she's not thinking very clear.
And you think I'm terrible.
I'm trying to understand why you would want to have your...
Exactly. That's the point. You can't understand it. And even if she had just advertised...
It's nothing to do with being a Catholic. I'm also a health professional.
Well, that's true. I know, but
I'm... Ben Strock, she said that he pictures Katrina doing the show wearing rubber gloves.
No. Yes, I'm in a sterile
environment. All just my last word on it is, if she had just made the DOCO, I would be feeling sorry for her and thinking, good on you for showing that it's really tough to go through treatment. That's not what she did, though. She complained the week before about how the paparazzi won't leave her alone. And that's what annoys me, is to say, you can't go, don't give me all this publicity about dying, and then document vomiting into a kidney dish.
No, but wait, there is a big difference between having a documentary made and being hounded around your house by paparazzi.
That is not what she said. She said just in general they were writing about her cancer and not leaving her alone to die in peace.
But that's not really the paparazzi. The paparazzi are all photographers.
Exactly my point. This is all I'm saying. You know, she kept talking about it.
I think if she's being hounded at her door by photographers and people trying to gather around like vultures, that's one thing. Doing a documentary is a whole different issue because that's, a controlled environment.
Well, I vote for her for Hypocrite of the Week. I don't
care what you said. And the quorum notes Mirren's vote for the week.
Thank you. And Stupid Person of the Week is Hayden Panettiere for getting a tattoo that's misspelled. I love that. So if anybody doesn't...
Who's doing that girl's makeup? I was looking at Heroes last week. They've got a makeup. It's on with a trowel and she's got this... And her mascara. I don't wear makeup, listeners, ever, unless I've got a gun at my head. And I'm telling you, her mascara is caked on. I thought, get a different brand. And she's like, they're dressing her like a middle-aged woman. A 50-plus beyond.
And that new haircut she had for the last season with the bangs and everything, it just looked awful.
That's why I don't watch Heroes.
She looks shiny.
Too weird.
I've gone off. I tell you, there's a very funny... radio personality, and they said that the way they felt about Lost was they were still watching it, but it was like a child that had grown up and disappointed them, and they just wanted to slap it, but they couldn't leave it alone and not look at it anymore. So I almost feel the same way about Lost. I'm sticking with Lost, but I'm sick of Heroes.
Well, I actually just watched the season finale of Lost for the latest season, and I'm not going to
finishing it.
No. They've actually given it a stop date. Oh no! It actually has. Wait for it. Two more seasons.
Thank God you told me. Oh, I'm not wearing that.
No, it's got two more seasons, but they're short seasons. They only go for like 13 episodes, and the season 5 just came to a conclusion.
I know we don't like American bashing here. Don't these people know how to fucking finish a story?
They haven't finished it yet.
I'm sorry.
They haven't started it yet. What are you
talking about?
No, let me tell you, the season 5 was actually quite interesting.
I am a cranky smoke, and now I'm turning into Ben Thingy's daughter, who he killed to say, you've got to listen to John, and he's the leader, and you have to do what he says.
Oh, you go, Katrina.
But now I'm going to see Jacob, who no one ever sees because he sits in a rocking chair.
I'm tired of arguing with him about it.
And now we're going to kill him, but he's a piece of fucking smoke, John.
So what episode are you up to?
I'm going to find out what it was on last week.
Well, yeah, okay.
It's Australia, it's 4 years behind.
No. No, you're only a couple of episodes off the season finale, if not one episode off the season finale.
I'm so gutted. I thought I was hanging in there, like waiting for a relationship to just die, and I thought, it's nearly over. No, it's stupidity. It's going to be more lost.
But let me tell you that the two-hour season finale of this season is quite amazing, and it's got some very big revelations, including the fact that Jacob is not the smoke monster. That's the only spoiler I'll give
you. Jacob is, he's one of the bloody polar bears.
No, it's got nothing to do with any of that.
Okay. can I bring up movie of the week?
Go ahead.
Just real quick. In case Katrina hasn't heard about it. Did you hear about Lars von Trier's film that showed at Cannes called Antichrist?
No.
Okay, he's got this film, and he did it out of a depression. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm depressed or not feeling very well, I don't get the urge to turn it into art. I get the urge to just sort of find something to make me feel happy, like go see a Star Trek movie. So instead, he decided to make a movie. So he's made this movie with Charlotte Gainsborough and that weird-looking guy, Willem Dafoe. And what they do is it's one of those really weird relationships where lots of weird stuff happens. And at one point, she drills a hole in his leg so she can put a spike in it and does something to his penis, cuts it off. But the big thing that's got everybody upset is she takes a pair of scissors and she cuts off her clitoris, her own clitoris, and we get to watch it. So the entire Cannes audience was like, you know, didn't know whether to throw up or get upset.
It sounds charming.
But the funny thing is that...
Dogville.
And all those other kind of things. And Dancer in the Dark and everything. And anyway, he's gone completely insane. But what's so funny...
John Malkovich made Dancer in the Dark. No, he did Dancer Upstairs. Beg your pardon. Yeah. Apologize.
And what's so funny is that now Denmark, so far, is the only country that's going to take it uncut, and he's having to talk to every distributor in every country individually to say, okay, what do you don't want? You don't want to see the clitoris being cut off. Okay, then we'll take care of that. What do you want? If he's got to mutilate his own movie, in effect.
Maybe it's my pragmatic style, but if you're going to put a spike through someone's leg, why do you have to drill a hole first? Surely the spike would make its own way.
That was just to get us excited so we would go and be curious enough to see it. So I'm looking forward to this movie. I want to see how somebody cuts off.
And then if somebody does that in real life, it's a snuff movie.
Let me just tell you.
I
want
to see how you reach your clitoris enough to cut it off.
Let me just tell you.
Oh, sorry. We really degenerated.
It's Lars von Trier, which is a reason enough for me not to go see it anyway.
Okay.
Speaking of Cannes, though, I will just say that Tarantino can't get his hands
off of it. Oh, yeah, this is funny.
Because Quentin Tarantino debuted his new film, Inglourious Basterds, at Cannes. And then immediately said after the screening, oh, by the way, I still haven't finished cutting it and I'm going to do some more reshoots and recut it.
Yeah, but in the meantime, the script for it, part of it, a scene from it, has appeared in my latest Vanity Fair. So I'm curious to know, does he want to go to Vanity Fair and rewrite it?
I don't know. That's bizarre. I
think Tarantino's lost it too. He should go on Lost.
Hey, there it is. Sorry, I threw the article away.
He's actually made of smoke.
I threw the article away before I actually grabbed the last bit of information, which I thought was actually very interesting. Apparently, he has a contractual final cut. As long as his movie comes in less than 2 hours and 48 minutes long.
Oh, my. 48, not 50.
At the moment, the running time runs at 2 hours, 27 minutes.
You know how they titrate that? On a human bladder.
Speaking of that.
2:48, it just wee happens. So you've got to finish it at 2:48 because at 2:50, which is the 2-minute walking time from your cinema seat to the loo.
Speaking of peeing during movies, Leo Laporte's podcast, Ned at Night, actually interviewed the creator of a new website, which is very interesting, which is just for you guys, called runpee.com, runpee.com, and it's open to anybody to contribute to it, and basically what it is all the latest movies and where the best points to run out and pee are.
Oh, that's really good. That's really, I like that. And can I just give a hint?
And it tells you in, like, encrypted words that you can click on to decrypt them, which tell you what you would miss in the 3 minutes you run to get a pee.
Oh, I like that. Can I give a hint to the listeners out there? Because my hint worked this week, and I'm going to use it now all the time. Because I have what they call an irritable bladder, goes with being a grumpy bitch. And
probably more information than we want to hear on this show.
But I'm always in a situation where I seem to be in places where they won't let me use the toilet. You know, we've stopped in Australia having coffee shops with toilets. They tell me, you know, you can go down the street or whatever. So So I was coming on the bus and the train here to get back to Sydney and having trouble, you know, with, oh, no, that's locked or you can't use that or whatever. And so I'm just telling people now, and you might want to, listeners might want to try this at home. If you take people aside and look embarrassed and tell them that you have a urine bag and that you're afraid that it's leaking and so you really need to go look in the toilet at your urine bag, they get very embarrassed and give you the key real quick smart. So
Speaking of going to hell, they might even let you.
Katrina. And they'll let you use the
bag.
Toilet.
You could just pop it over a drain and
But they don't know that.
They don't know that. And I tell them that it's leaking and they look all embarrassed.
What is it, suprapubic or is it an indwelling catheter? You're being unspecific.
Sweetheart, it got me my own carriage on the train when I told the lady.
People don't want to know the details.
I said to her, she wanted me to put my luggage up, my hand luggage. I said, I'm sorry, I have a urine bag and I must be able to put my feet up, otherwise the bag pulls. I don't know what if a bag pulls or not. What do I know? She got so
get a longer catheter.
Well, she took me straight to my own carriage. It was bizarre. I had my whole, so I didn't have to sit with the peasants. So I'm telling you, you just got to have tell them you got a medical condition and people get all freaked out. And tell them you had anal cancer. That'll do it, you know? So
It's like you've got a video camera saying, I'm recording how you're treating me.
All right, last little bit of trivia we'll throw in here before we head to some sort of news and get some sort of sense to the show. President Obama, speaking once again of Star Trek, President Obama actually went to see Star Trek. And he was quoted in Newsweek. So this is President Obama said, Star Trek, we saw this weekend, which I thought was good. Everybody was saying I was Spock, so I figured I should check it out. And Obama tells Newsweek before giving the Vulcan salute. He said, I used to love Star Trek. You know, Star Trek was ahead of its time. There was a whole, the special effects weren't real good, but the storylines were always evocative. There was a little commentary and a little pop philosophy for a 10-year-old to absorb.
And can I just say about that, because, you know, I'd like people to know, oh, the photo up comes from her article.
Yeah,
because Maureen Dowd in New York Times wrote about him, and she did that. It's an article of him looking like Spock, and he does. He looks like Spock.
He does look a bit like Spock. So I thought that was kind of cool. And we actually knew from the campaign trail that he was a Trekkie. For him to have gone and seen Star Trek, that was pretty neat.
I want to tell Katrina about, because this will get you, Katrina, when you talk about the Americans and what the fuck are they doing with movies. You got to tell her about that. You know how they made a movie out of Pirates.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. That's in the film news. We'll get to that.
Okay.
All right, we're going to head into just a little bit of tech news, and then we're going to move back into
film news. All right,
I'll
have a nap, and you let me know when it's over.
All right, first of all, actually, this is kind of up your alley, actually.
Oh.
I just want to say a big your dorks to the popular press Sydney Morning Herald actually carried the article, but apparently it went across all the news wires, was that Twitter had wrongly declared Patrick Swayze dead.
Twitter isn't a person, guys.
That's right. Twitter doesn't actually make news. The people on Twitter actually do the stuff.
I love that.
And why would you take anything on Twitter as being fact?
Yeah, I know. Or Wikipedia.
It's garbage. I'm sorry. I think I've just hit my age watershed. When people say, and I'm having a pee of whatever, 120 characters, I don't care. I don't care if you're a big star.
I like Twitter and I Twitter and all that sort of stuff, but I'm not about to go, oh, somebody said something on Twitter, therefore it must be fact. What you do is you see something on Twitter and then you go, oh, maybe we should check that into it.
But
can I
offer another perspective? Am I the only person that feels this way? Sheila got me, my sister got me signed up to Twitter, right? And I thought, well, okay. I mean, you know me, I'm a techno moron, but I thought, okay. And she says, now you just write things and people will follow you. And I have like two followers, her and David. But anyway, the funny thing is, my problem with Twitter and why I don't use it anymore, because I don't have an iPhone, I'd have to do it with my computer, is I feel this pressure to be interesting. And so I think, what would I Twitter? Oh, I'm having lunch? I don't get this. I don't understand Twitter because
it doesn't seem to affect the other 99% of people on Twitter.
You're putting way too much pressure on yourself.
That's why I don't get it.
I use Twitter predominantly as a way of getting a message out there about this show more than anything else. And then in between, I mentioned a few other things.
But you don't write, I'm on the train, I'm having lunch.
The other morning I was sitting here and I went, I think my post consisted of something like, you know, read my news feeds, updated this, I've done that, time for a cup of tea, you know, because I've done everything. So
I don't know. I'm with you, Katrina.
Did you follow had a pee?
Sorry?
Had a pee. You know, I'm out of toilet paper. What? I don't, you know.
You guys are such old fun days.
What? I agree. It's so weird.
I can't cope with that. And then,
Katrina, I got
Friday, you're saying, oh, the show's about to start. I'm, you know, it's fabulous. Tune in. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, but I got...
The minutiae of someone's day, I just don't care.
And then I'm a person who already gets 200 spam a day, no joking, and I immediately got 7 followers who were spam. I said to David, what is this? He goes, they're spam. I said, I'm getting spam on Twitter. What?
You just blocked them.
But... you know what I think? Too many people don't have enough to do.
Jesus blocked his 12 followers. Oh, muck my joke up then.
What?
What?
What did you say?
Jesus on Twitter and blocked his followers. There with me. I mucked my own joke up because I was laughing in the middle of because I knew what I was going to say.
Sad sign when you start laughing at your own
jokes.
All right, let's move on. All right, Microsoft, I've got a couple of Microsofts here. Hold on. Microsoft's always a good whipping post. Microsoft, now a few weeks ago we reported that Microsoft was actually getting sued because their anti-piracy software that they use was stolen. So they actually had pirated their own anti-piracy software. Well, apparently they've now been ordered to pay $200 million for a patent infringement. Apparently, their custom XML tagging features that they use in Word 2003 and Word 2007 infringed on a patent from Toronto-based i4i. Is Microsoft doing anything of their own lately?
But you know what? That never matters, all these fines. It's all petty cash.
I know.
They need to find some other way to punish them.
Well, to help boost up their coffers, apparently Microsoft has finally confirmed that Windows 7 will be released later this year. There's been a lot of talk as to when it's coming. It will be out hopefully before Christmas this year. If you haven't already downloaded, for those Windows people out there, the Windows 7 release candidate is still available for download. You go ahead and have a look at it. It's actually very good.
Oh, good. And there'll be another funny Apple ad.
And everybody is now reporting. I saw reports all over the newspapers who are all basically saying, skip Vista, move straight to 7.
Oh, my God.
And the other big company, this is the last tech story, guys. The other big company in the Wintel equation is Intel. Mm-hmm. And Intel is facing an antitrust case, could face an antitrust case in Australia. Now, this is why I brought this up, because it actually comes home to us. Apparently, the European Commission Wednesday fined Intel more than €1 billion or 1.45 billion Australian dollars for violating antitrust legislation after it received complaints from rival AMD. AMD basically said that Intel was paying people off so that the AMD chips were being pushed off the market.
Yes, fight with each other.
And blah, blah, blah. And now that they have won this, AMD is now thinking about pursuing this in other markets, and the first one up may be Australia. So AMD might be attacking Intel on Australian soil, which is kind of fun. My question is, why isn't AMD attacking Intel on U.S. soil?
And you know what I heard him just say, Katrina?
They're going to use a fart-sized country like us as a test case.
And I heard him just say, blah, 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 blah,
blah.
Oh,
all right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's move on to some film and TV, and this will make you feel better.
Can I just say that just for the people who don't know, it'll take one
second. Sure, yeah.
Medium, for those of you that are worried, because NBC dropped it, because I love Medium and I watch it every week, CBS has picked it up. So Medium, the show, has been saved.
And
don't worry.
On TV news, the series Chuck, one of my favorite shows at the moment, was facing the axe. It has been confirmed now that it is being picked up. NBC is going ahead with a new season, but it will be a mid-season show because of the Winter Olympics. So it's going to actually not debut until the beginning of 2010.
What I don't understand is, so far, Life has been canceled, and it was such a hit, I don't understand that. Life has been canceled, as has Earl. My name is Earl.
Now, my name is
Earl. I thought they were both hits.
My name is Earl is being shopped around at the moment. Fox is currently looking at it, and if they pass, apparently another network is also looking at it, so they may pick it up. Life at this point looks like it's dead and buried.
I don't get it. I don't get that.
Excuse me. But Chuck is – there are a couple of caveats to the Chuck pickup, which I thought were interesting, because NBC is obviously feeling the pinch of this economic crisis. Apparently, they have said that they have to cut the budget. One of the major characters apparently will be removed. We don't know who at this point. And the scenes in the Bymore, where there's all most of the cast of all those whack jobs, some of them will probably be reduced down. They're not going to be able to show scenes like that because they need to reduce the budget. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with it anyway. So I'm glad it's coming back, though. Now, American Idol for those who watched the big...
Oh, I would have surgery, Adam. I would come to your side. Oh, God.
Now, for those who watched the American Idol finale on Fox 8 or on American television Fox, you would have seen Adam Lambert, who is just a rock god.
But instead they gave it to the white bread boy.
They did, but he performed a number with Queen.
Oh.
Now, what's interesting about this is apparently Queen has now come out and said that they're definitely hoping to have a meaningful conversation with Lambert to possibly be their new frontman. So I thought that was very interesting. And boy, let me tell you, watching that performance was phenomenal. He's like watching Freddie Mercury all over again.
Oh, God. Did you see it, Katrina? Oh, no, you're not a Foxtail. Oh, God, Katrina, he's just wonderful. So, but you know what it is, Katrina? It's interesting. He has this huge musical theater background, and so he comes out, and he can just do anything because he's so comfortable with constantly acting and singing. And it really, really shows when a person has a good background. Oh,
so I think if there was ever anybody to replace Freddie Mercury, and I don't think there is anybody who can replace Freddie Mercury, but if there was anybody who could continue his legacy, would probably be Adam Lambert at this point. So it's probably actually a blessing that he didn't win American Idol because this will allow him to do something like this.
But we forgot
the tech
news about the place that I hate, just a sentence.
Oh, Facebook?
No.
Oh, okay.
You know that I detest, hate, and with all my body and soul, Wikipedia, because I cannot believe that you think...
I know, then other people can bloody go in and change stuff. How stupid stuff.
So now they've got porn. Somebody put porn in a kid's book. So now they're coming out and saying, oh, but, you know, it's not a place that you should let your children go to unsupervised. Now, I wanted to say that very slowly. An encyclopedia is a place that you shouldn't let your children go to unsupervised. What next? You know, we're going to take Dr. Seuss?
Let somebody go onto Wikipedia anyway, where people can change anything.
Exactly.
Things have never been safe anyway.
Well, I don't understand. It says sexual...
Well, one, it's not accurate, and two, it's not safe.
No, I know. It's ridiculous, and it makes me laugh because it says sexual and violent acts, which, of course, makes me immediately curious, between characters were added last week to the online plot summary for Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nymph, NIMH, which is recommended for students in years 5 to 9. And I'm sitting there thinking, don't your questions
start... No, wait a minute. It's Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim.
Okay, but what I'm thinking is, you know, what would make them do it in that book and why, you know, like, what did they do?
I've read that book. There's nothing in that
book. Well, they went on and changed it. And again, when are we going to say Wikipedia is a bad idea? You know, bad idea.
I know. They should bloody piss it off.
I agree. Yeah.
All right. Go back to film news. Let's slide back. Oh, before we go on, things you want to bring that up, let's just bring up Facebook really quickly. Facebook apparently may be facing issues with the U.S. Department, Justice Department, because they were censoring private email between users. Now, we're not talking about the stuff on the timeline. We're talking about private email between people. If you put in links to pornography or the Pirate Bay, stuff like that, things were being censored. And they're now saying that this may actually infringe U.S. wiretapping laws.
Because a little note comes up.
A little note comes up saying,
no.
This is blocked, sorry, but what are they doing checking your private email anyway?
It's pretty bizarre.
So, yes, I think that's a bit of an issue. But anyway, back to film. The worst idea ever is what Slash Film is calling.
The worst idea ever was Halloween Resurrection, because I just saw that.
No, this is worse.
Oh, this is worse. Okay.
This is worse. Slash Film reports that the worst idea ever...
Now, Katrina, listen very carefully to
this.
...is
that Hollywood is going to make a movie out of Bazooka Joe.
Chewing gum.
Now,
have you ever heard of bazooka?
No, I've never heard of that.
Well, in America, we have a gum for a million years called
Bazooka Bubble Gum,
and it's got a guy on the front for looks like a 1940s picture, and it's called Bazooka Joe. It's just gum.
And apparently, he was turned into a comic strip character.
Yes, that's right.
In the newspapers way back in the day, but they are now Michael Eisner of Disney is now saying that he would like to turn it into a movie, Bazooka Joe. This has got to be the most stupid thing I've ever
heard. Hello. They did Pirates of the Caribbean. That was a bloody ride.
Yeah, but you know what?
Pirates they're going to have a chip packet next as a movie. You know, inspired as
when does Twisties the movie come out? That's what I want to know.
I know. I don't know.
Twisties the movie.
But you know what? If they get Johnny Depp or somebody like that, it'll be good no matter what.
That's true. That's true. All right. Now.
His name, Ron Perlman. He'd be that sort of character.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
No, but can I just say that, David showed me the trailer the other day for a movie coming out with Action Jackson, G.I. Joe, Rise of the Cobra or whatever.
Yeah, Rise of Cobra. Yeah.
And when David was young, when David was like, you know, he's nine or whatever it was.
Still young.
Yeah, well, he was younger. He wanted. Sure.
I'm still nine in my head.
He wanted these figures that came out, Action Jackson, G.I. Joe, and he was kidded by the other children for having boy dolls. And it just makes me laugh because now boy doll action, they're now called, of course, action figures. And now they're going to make a movie, but they're not stressing that it's called G.I. Joe. They're stressing that it's called Rise of the Cobra.
Oh, I don't know. G.I. Joe is much bigger than Rise of the Cobra.
Yeah, but I think it's pretty weird, again, to make a movie out of an action figure.
Because they're the G.I. Joe team.
Oh, hello. The three bloody animated Barbie ballet things.
Did you ever see Barbie the Nutcracker?
No, that was porn, David.
Tim Curry was the Rat King.
Oh, was he? Oh my God! No.
Barbie's
all of those Barbie ones.
Barbie's the Nutcracker shows up on TV around Christmas time a lot. Okay,
they did the Nutcracker. They did Swan Lake and
Swan Lake. That's right.
Oh
that's
dear God!
All right, next one is Martin Scorsese is going to be making a biopic of Frank Sinatra.
Oh, this is making me feel ill.
Now, this made me laugh, though, because apparently Leonardo DiCaprio is tipped to play Sinatra in the new movie. Apparently he is Scorsese's first choice, and he's really keen on it. But I think he may have run into a brick wall on this, because apparently Scorsese says he doesn't want him to mime, and he can only have the part if he can sing for real.
And I better get Tom, what's his face?
Yeah, like Tom, Berlinson, that's what I was saying.
Tom Berlinson, that's right. Yeah.
We have a guy in Australia that is amazing.
So I think...
he's too old now, I think.
It sounds like to me Martin Scorsese is trying to do a walk the line.
It ain't easy to sing like Sinatra, that's why there were like one Sinatra.
That's right, that's why there was only one.
It's surprising they don't go to that other bloke, Buble.
Oh, Michael Buble.
Yeah.
But can he act? Well, Sinatra couldn't act.
Well, that's true. Now let's see. We've got.
Can I just back up?
Yeah.
Scorsese.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I got to give you a sound effect. Hold on. Beep, 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 beep. Okay, go ahead.
Scorsese is obsessed with DiCaprio as his muse.
Oh, he is.
As Quentin Tarantino is obsessed with Uma Thurman.
And Ridley Scott.
Tim Burton is obsessed with Johnny Depp.
And Ridley Scott is obsessed with Russell Crowe. Yes.
That's right.
Absolutely. Actually,
I read a disturbing article with Russell Crowe the other day about Ridley Scott, because he said that after they did Gladiator together.
That's right.
It was the way it was worded. It wasn't what he was saying. It was the way it was worded, because it made it sound like they were having a love affair.
He said,
after we did Gladiator, we said we needed to do more things together. He said, but, you know, we decided that we had to have some time apart. I mean, this is how it's working. We had to have some time apart to realize how much we really needed each other. And it was like, I'm reading like, what? Are you aware of what you're saying here, dude?
Isn't your favorite line of the week when they said he's trying to diet so that he won't have to play Friar Tuck? He'll get to play Robin Hood.
Now, I have to say, a photo of Russell as Robin Hood has surfaced now.
Oh, dear.
In his eyes! He actually looks all right, but he looks trim and he's got his bow.
He's got Spanx on. He's got a full body.
Yeah, well, he might.
You know, the stupidest Robin Hood outfit, only just pipping the Errol Flynn one, was that bloody Kevin Costner. How many buckles
did he make? I quite liked Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, though.
Yeah, David,
stupid.
But David, your taste is in your mouth.
I had a little crush on Kevin because I looked into his blue eyes and I thought,
saw his soul? Oh, you idiot. You didn't like Kevin Costner, did you? Oh, my God, Katrina.
I look at Robin Hood.
I think you could have a side show about, like a side issue show, about who you reckon, from watching them on TV, on film, you know they'd be a good kisser. And who would be a dud? And I'm telling you, if you watch Kevin Costner in that one and you watch him in No Way Out and you watch him in Revenge, you can tell he's a good kisser. Oh. But then he took his own, what do you call it, publicity to heart and flicked wife of a million years, and then he's gone downhill then.
But I'm telling you,
he's obviously, you can tell he was a good kisser.
Oh. Look, you know what? Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, bad accents aside, the whole bit, it was a romp. It was a fun couple of hours. You know, it's not,
yes,
it's
not, but something bad happened between him and the director. There was obviously a
huge fights. But they actually got worse because they rectified their problems. That's Kevin Reynolds you're thinking of, the director.
Yes, I am.
They were boyhood friends, and they kind of came up in the industry together. They had huge fights, but they had rectified after that point, and then they did Waterworld, and Waterworld sunk them. Apparently, Waterworld, they didn't speak to each other for years after that.
Yeah, but my...
The funny thing is, I didn't mind Waterworld. That's one of those ones, go back later, and it's not the end of the world.
Well,
it is,
not.
Because it's an apocalyptic film. But it's not that bad a movie.
Yeah, but my question about Robin Hood and making it, why?
That's my big question, is why is Ridley Scott making...
Why the fuck?
Don't have to pay anybody for the friggin' story.
Oh, God. It's just, any way you look at it, it's going to look... Especially after Mel Brooks did Men in Tights. I'm sorry.
The problem that the Russell Crowe has as Robin from this photo is not his costume. It's not his, you know, not his weight. It's the fact that he still just looks like a thug.
Exactly. Exactly. You know,
he doesn't have that dashing, handsome...
Are they going with the nobleman...
Yeah, they're going with the Robin of Locksley story.
Oh, God.
Yeah. All right, so what would you like? Would you like the reimagining or the sequel news?
No, the reimagining makes me
think. Reimagining, and then we can have a little vomit bag ready.
Yeah.
Okay, the reimagining news is that obviously 20th Century Fox has decided that they didn't do it quite right, even though it did make money, and they already made one spin-off, but it looks like there is talk that they might be rebooting Daredevil. So they might be reimagining Daredevil a second time now.
Without Ben.
Ben Affleck?
Doesn't say at this point. I would imagine without Ben, because if you're going to reboot it, you're going to reboot it.
Yeah.
But the reason why this has come up is that Katie Sackhoff, who played Starbuck in Battlestar Galactica, has apparently been seen raiding comic book stores all over L.A., buying up every issue of Daredevil that has the character of Typhoid Mary. Who's one of the bad guys. Now, Typhoid Mary was already seen in the Elektra movie, which was the spin-off of Daredevil. But obviously...
What a pain in the ass was that movie.
But she's now saying that she really wants to play Typhoid Mary, and the fact that she wants to play Typhoid Mary and she's doing all this research says that they might be reimagining Daredevil with Typhoid Mary. So I don't know why that's a good idea.
I think we should fire every executive in Hollywood start over.
Now, this is the sequel news, and the sequel news actually tickles me a little bit, because I've seen the first film, and yeah, you could get away with doing it. I don't know why you'd want to, because it stands alone quite nicely, but the film Fanboys, which I don't actually think to this date has actually still come out in Australia. I had the pleasure of seeing this film a couple of weeks ago. Fanboys basically is a cast of unknowns, except for Kristen Bell, who plays one of the female geeks in it, about a group of friends who decide that they're going to storm Skywalker Ranch because it's actually set at the time that they were making Star Wars Episode One. So they decide that they're going to storm Skywalker Ranch to try and see the movie before anybody else. And so they trek across the country and in their panel van that's done up like the Death Star, and they're just massive fanboys basically, and they go across, and it's very cute. It's silly,
they're doing
but very
a sequel
cute.
To something we haven't seen yet,
but now they're talking Fanboys too. And so they're saying after the success of Fanboys, which opened in the States but hasn't opened here, they're thinking about doing another one where they go on a mission to crash the set of Star Wars Episode II in Australia. So they're thinking about setting it. The only problem that I find, and this is a bit of a spoiler here, is that the reason they actually do the quest is that one of them is dying. And because he's dying, this was like their boyhood thing, was to do this raid on Skywalker Ranch. They decide that this is their last chance. So they all go across country. He's got cancer, and they all go across country to do this before he dies. So if that is the case, then what's the sequel's drive?
You see, this brings us to a point, the two questions that it constantly intrigue me that nobody can seem to answer. One is... The movie was obviously such a success. I mean, it wasn't a blockbuster, but it was obviously successful.
It was an indie
success.
Made
its money back. That they're now thinking of doing a sequel when we have never even seen it released here, which I don't understand why it doesn't get released. And the second thing is, David just discovered a film that really brought it to mind, Katrina. This was given just by someone, a DVD filled with about 8 stars. Everyone from...
The film is called The Air I Breathe.
And it's got Sarah Michelle Gellar. It's got all these people. And what intrigues me is all these films, and there are many, many out there, that you, especially if you go to the video library and you pick them up and you go, all these incredible actors, you know, there might even be, you know, nominees, Oscar nominees and stuff. And the film never even saw daylight.
Okay, the film The Air I Breathe, which is on DVD here in Australia, it showed up straight to DVD. It never got a cinema run, as far as I know. Stars Kevin Bacon, Julie Delpy, Brendan Fraser, Andy Garcia, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Emile Hirsch, Forrest Whitaker. I think that's it. I think that's the bulk of our cast.
I mean,
and a bunch of other people, but we don't know them. But this film with this power cast. Just kind of went,
always wonder what the cast must think that, you know, I'm a fairly big star, I made this film. When you're making it, do you think to yourself, it will never see light of day, it'll go straight to DVD? Or do you really think, you know, it's going to do something?
You've also got to look at the fact that obviously it's a love project because nobody could afford to have all of those people on their normal blockbuster salaries.
I know.
So the thing's obviously, you know, a heartfelt project that they've done for somebody. And therefore, you aren't going to have the bloody, what do you call it, marketing behind it to get it up.
So I'm just looking here. Fanboys was released in the States in limited release on the 6th of February, 2009. Has been released in Iceland, Singapore, Canada, Greece, Denmark, and Germany, but has not been released. Oh, it's actually going to be released in Germany on the 2nd of July, but has not been released in Australia yet.
It's just odd.
It is a bit odd.
Why don't you try and get a distribution person on to talk about it?
I would love to, and I'd love to get somebody, especially somebody from something like Mad Men or one of the independent companies.
Yes, and find out what the hell, you know. Oh, sorry. I was telling that movie the other day that I said I saw, and it was Tony Shalhoub on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Ray Romano. Like, I saw this film, just came across the TV screen, and I'm looking at it now. It was called Grilled, and it was done in 2006. And it had Ray Romano and Kevin James from, you know, who's just now got a lot of publicity
with
for that. With Mall Cop. And it had Juliet Lewis, Burt Reynolds, Michael Rapaport, all these people. And again, never heard of it, never saw the light of day. And you think, really, Ray Romano's kind of got a bit of a, popularity there.
He's going to suffer from the Seinfelds. The minute you're 2 years away from something like that, he did the bloody mammoth thing in Ice Age 1, 2, and 3, which shouldn't have happened. And now...
Ice Age 1 is great.
What's his name? Seinfeld goes, oh, dear, I don't seem to be doing much, even though I've got a squillion-y, billion-y dollars. I'll do a stupid B movie. And he does the B thing. But really, unless you've got... People are dumb. Unless you've got something dancing in front of their little eyes with colour and movement or regularly, they will forget you. So I don't think Ray Romano is such a big deal at the moment after all.
So didn't you like Ice Age?
I loved Ice Age 1. I thought Ice Age 2 was a pain in the ass.
No, I agree with you there. I thought Ice Age 1 was fabulous.
I believe they're doing Ice Age 3, and I'm cross. I've seen the little teaser for it.
I do have to say that Ice Age 3 will be shown in digital 3D, and I am looking forward to that.
I'm
loving digital 3D.
But
it's like the real Ice Age didn't last this long.
Ice Age was great. It was fun, you know. I like Dennis.
Dennis Leary, fantastic. Yeah. Now, I got some information for you. Fanboys, I got to tell you, they don't give us the production budget on Fanboys, but if they're considering a sequel, can you imagine how much the first Fanboys must have cost? Because it's only taken $688,000 at the box office.
Pardon? Did they pay the actors?
Well, it's probably going to make its money on DVD more than anything else. Yeah. But we don't know what the budget is. But if the budget is, if the film can... be talking about a sequel at $688,000, then the budget must have been pretty damn low.
That is insane.
You know who I loved in terms of fanboy stuff?
Yeah.
Am I sounding like a Cylon?
A little bit, but that's all right. Keep going.
We can hear you.
The way that the comic store guys were depicted in Heroes, particularly with Seth Green.
Yes, absolutely.
Can I also say about sequels, because I hate sequels, but I was very pleased that... on my television, as everybody knows, I've moved to Cabot Cove, otherwise known as Phillip Island in Melbourne, and we only get a little 3-4 free-to-air channels. And the other night they had Halloween Resurrection on, which I was so pleased because I was very cranky. I don't watch these. They don't interest me, these films. But she cut off his head in the one before. And I kept saying to David, how can they make a sequel? She cut off his head. And he said, no, they're making a sequel. I said, what is she going to do? Sew his head back on? I don't understand. And I was very pleased to have that answered. So that was good. That she evidently cut off the wrong head because he put his mask on a medic. So I thought that was very clever of them to come up with a way to justify that. So that's, for me, is the only reason to ever see sequels, is to get an answer to, you know, if they leave something. Other than that, I agree with you. It's like this Ice Age thing. It comes to a point where how many sequels? We're going to be into the Jurassic era, you know? I mean, why do we need another?
Yeah. Well, I tell you, well, one in the early hours of the morning last night was Jeepers Creepers, yes, in 2001, yes, with Justin Long. And he hadn't learned to act at that point.
I've seen this film, yes.
His eyebrows were just up.
You're breaking up a lot there, Katrina. We're just going to pause for 1 second while we call Katrina back and get a fresh line.
Hold on.
Okay.
And we're back. Katrina, how's that sound?
Yeah,
much better. Thank you. Thank you, technology. anyway, so Justin Long, it's 2001, right? And I was watching, I taped it because I thought, oh, I want to see how he goes. And he wasn't the main star. The girl that plays his sister was billed higher than him in the credits.
Yes.
And he hadn't learned to act at this point. And so every time he was horrified and saw the macabre and bodies and what have you, his eyebrows just went up. Isn't and that, they didn't come down.
That's hilarious.
And he just stared. And I thought, wow. And I thought, isn't it lovely that this guy's actually had an opportunity to develop his craft
and to get better.
But I must say that Jeepers Creepers 2, this has actually got a point to it, believe it or not, listeners. Jeepers Creepers 2, where they had the bus and the students.
Now, that's the one that I saw by accident, and I thought, what the hell is it?
That's better than Jeepers Creepers 1.
Well, I thought it was hilarious because it was so stupid.
Yeah, I've never seen the sequel. I've seen the first one.
And
yes. One with the bloody yellow bus. It's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. And there was a bit of humor in the first one because the evil Jeeper Creeper thing, he is all got all the bodies, and you see him shutting the doors onto this little van because by the second one, he's in fact got wings. I don't know why he needed a van in the first one, but anyway. So he shuts the doors, right? And it's all dark. You're in there with the bodies, right? And then you see him open the door and he just throws a head in and shuts the door.
I know.
It was really funny.
And for me, having not seen the first one, there was so much of going, what the hell's going on here? I don't understand. And the casting was interesting to me because there was Justin Long, who, I agree with you. I'm going, oh, that's Justin Long. And then Drew Tyler Bell is in it, who is the one of the Bell dynasty who do Young and the Restless and Bold and the Beautiful. And he's actually in the Bold and the Beautiful as one of the sons. And
is that in part two?
Yes, and he has eyebrows as well. And they're just like, all you want to do is get the tweezers.
Yeah, but Justin Long's not in the second one.
Yeah, it says here he is.
I thought he was only
he wasn't.
No, he's only in the first one.
Well, that's interesting because Jeepers Creepers 2, it says Justin Long. Yeah. So that's
maybe they did a
flashback.
They might have
something.
Done a, what do you call it? A
flashback?
Yeah. Because it took his eyes at the end.
But they could have sewn him back in. That's what I'm telling you. These sequels answer.
I'm looking at the cast for
No, he was.
You go to Moore, and I'm telling you, he's on there.
Moore. He's way down the list. Yeah, look at flashbacks from the first one.
It's a flashback. There's no way.
What I think is interesting, though, and it's very appropriate for Mirren over here, is that in Jeepers Creepers 1, Eileen Brenneman is in it.
She's wonderful.
But what I think is very funny, Eileen Brennan, sorry.
Yeah.
But I love her. She's been cast. The character's name is the Cat Lady.
She's got a pussy cat. But the funny thing was, the woman who plays the DA or one of the judges in Bones, she was the psychic Giselle that rang up and said, oh, I can see you screaming and you're hearing, you know, there's an old phonograph playing Jeepers Creepers. And she was psychic. It was hilarious.
I loved it. I think it's more fun to see a sequel if you haven't seen the first one because you just sit there going, oh, my God, this is so – I have no idea what's going on, but it's funny. Look,
it was great because the second one had racism and then the racist got killed and then the black guy got away. And,
but
you
I'm telling you – even in his list, it says he was in 2. So I think you guys just have to, you know. Although it says his name was Derry, not Derry.
Derry.
D-A-R-R-Y.
What a weird name is that? Looks like he's missing an L.
Well, speaking of sequels, I think what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to move on to our feature review.
I thought we were done. You said we only get an hour.
We got an hour, but we haven't done the feature review, so we'll do
this
quickly.
What's the feature review?
Well, the hot ticket.
Well,
you guys are useless. The hot ticket item this week.
I've traveled since I live in Cabot Cove now.
The hot ticket item this week, of course, is Angels and Demons. Let me just play you a little clip from this. Katrina, watch your ears.
Thank you, Doc.
So this is the part of the trailer for Angels and Demons.
Thousands are gathered in St. Peter's Square. The new Pope has yet to be selected.
back from an old enemy.
Find Professor Langdon.
He exposed one of the greatest cover-ups in human history.
Da Vinci.
But what terrifying discovery would make the Vatican turn to him?
That's Illuminati.
The Illuminati were a secret society dedicated to scientific truth. The Catholic Church ordered a brutal massacre to silence them forever. They've come for their revenge.
All right, I think that's enough of that.
Barf. All right. I had enough trouble watching the first one.
All right, well, I think I'm the only one who's actually seen this film this week, so
yes,
I will.
I've read the book.
You've read the book, so you can give us a bit on the side. Now, first of all, I just have to say that the film cost $150 million to make, U.S., and has so far grossed worldwide at this point $168 million, so it's already crossed its budget. But what is very interesting is it's actually making much more money foreign than it is domestic. In America, it's only taken $66 million. The other $100 million is coming from its international markets. The Americans don't seem to be embracing it as much as the rest of the world.
Because I saw the first one.
Let me start by saying that the film is, to summarize, the film would say that the Pope has died, there is a conspiracy, the Illuminati, which is a group of people that believe that technology can explain everything, have seemingly resurfaced, and they call in Professor Langdon, Tom Hanks from the first film, to decipher the clues to try and find some missing... Now, you're the Catholic. Are they cardinals?
They're bishops.
Thank you, bishops.
Yeah, they're going to be picked. One of them is going to be picked to be the new pope. What happens is they get sealed up in a little room, and they put in a particular thing into a little stove.
The conclave,
I think it's white smoke if they agree it's going to be the new pope, and black smoke if they haven't agreed.
But what we've got is we've got the four bishops who are the most likely, contenders of being the new pope are kidnapped by the quote-unquote Illuminati, and Professor Langdon has literally just a few hours to unravel this riddle, because there's also a bomb.
They have until
midnight to find to answer all of this to get the bomb out.
Because the bomb is antimatter
because the Large Hadron Collider created antimatter, and it's all complete and utter nonsense.
Remember when they were doing that thing? They're like, we could end the world.
That's right. We could create a black hole.
And it was like a fart in space. It was nothing. a bit of that work.
But we never let a fact get in the way of a good story, and Angels and Demons moves along at a cracking pace. It is lots of running. What the hell keeps beeping on your side of the table?
Antimatter. It's a bomb.
Sorry, something on Mirren's computer. Computer keeps beeping at me. But the bottom line is that the film is, although better than the film The Da Vinci Code. I feel like I'm being counted down. Although it's better than The Da Vinci Code, it's still not a great film, unfortunately, because it really, it's just a little bit too silly for its own good. And what may have worked as a written page, a lot of people say that the book Angels and Demons is better than the film.
Is he a shit writer?
Better than the book The Da Vinci Code.
Yes, okay.
My lovely wife Katie said that it was absolute pulp junk when she read The Da Vinci Code. And I actually found The Da Vinci
Code was so stupidly written, it'd go, I'm telling you this thing, and I'm telling you it again, because you might want to think about it a little bit later. And this is what I'm telling you. Okay, don't forget it. It's really important.
The Angels and Demons is a lot of running to things, seeing monuments, and going, they're pointing the way, and off you go again. And they did a lot of running around Rome, and it's absolute nonsense. But you know, I have to say, it was a little bit fun, although with that. Notion in mind, I have to say that the ending, without giving any spoilers away, because it is actually a mystery, so I guess we don't want to spoil anything, but I will say that the ending actually made me chuckle out loud. It is.
Is that a good thing?
No, it's silly.
It's just, and
it's actually not the finale of the film. It's just something that happens near the end, and I assume that the same thing happens in the book, but we won't give it away. But it just, there was a point where I kind of guffawed a little bit, and that kind of killed the moment because.
I am going to see the second one. I couldn't even sit through the first one. The first book was so stupid, and apparently, Angels and Demons was written before the Da Vinci Code, and apparently, he wrote the Da Vinci Code with malice of forethought to think, how can I sensationalise this and da-da-da? And I find it amusing, not just because I'm a Catholic, that it's very easy to make little groovy conspiracy thoughts about Catholicism, and look how well that worked for Salman Rushdie, going with other religions that aren't quite as, I don't care what you're saying about my religion.
No,
so really, I just was going to say that the first, apparently Da Vinci Code was written after Angels and Demons, but it's the one that took off because of the, you can't say that.
Absolutely.
Factor. And then they re-released Angels and Demons as a book. But the I think having read Da Vinci Codes, which was so stupid and ridiculous and badly written, I mean, I almost feel you should read at least three chapters, Mirren, as a personal punishment, but also to see the style of writing.
As penance.
Well, I got to tell you, I've actually got the audio book of the Da Vinci Code.
And who's reading it?
I have no idea, but I actually use it as a sedative. I put it on my headphones, and it puts me to sleep.
Doesn't your subconscious go, this is stupid?
But did we all forgotten also the controversy that he had evidently plagiarized the whole thing, and then all that went away, remember, after the
Demons? That's right. I don't know. Now, according to what I've read, Angels and Demons was written, as you say, was written before Da Vinci Code and is actually a prequel to the Da Vinci Code. The events happened before the Da Vinci Code. For the film, they've done some quick, smart rewriting, and it does actually follow on as a sequel. And there's lots of nods and winks, like, after what you did to the Catholic Church, you know, why would you call him in, et cetera, et cetera, because of the whole Da Vinci thing. But there's not a lot spoken. Now, my question, of course, is what happened to the girl from the Da Vinci Code? She just kind of has been mysteriously...
She had to melt away because, you know, types would be unhappy about her supposed lineage.
Yeah. Now, listen, I've got a little clip from the Da Vinci Code. Sorry, not from the Da Vinci Code. They all run into each other.
Yeah.
I've got a little clip here from Angels and Demons, which we'll play. And I think this clip is particularly funny because just listen to the dialogue. It's actually quite incomprehensible. Let me just line this clip up here. Hold on. All right, try this on for size.
I need access to the Vatican archives.
Professor, I don't think this is the appropriate moment.
Your petition has been denied 7 times.
No, this has nothing to do with my work. The Path of Illumination is a hidden trail through Rome itself that leads to the Church of the Illumination, the place where the Illuminati would meet in secret. If I can find the segno, the sign that marks the beginning of that path, the four churches along it may be where he intends to murder your cardinals. One every hour at 8, 9, 10, and 11. Then the device explodes at midnight. But if we can figure out the first church and get there before he does, maybe we can stop. But I can't find the start of the path until I get into the archives.
You don't want to help you. Access to the archives is only by written decree by the curator and the Board of Vatican.
And the whole film is like this.
What he said.
And then you could do that, you could do that. Yes, but, you know, what does the Jedi Council feel about that?
Yeah, you know, the whole film, you know, the entire scene is real Basil exposition. It's like, let me just lay it all out for you, because then, for the next 2 hours, we can run around like crazy and not have to explain anything.
Why don't we go straight to the end of the and defuse the bomb and let what happened to the bishops happen to the bishops, or what are the cardinals?
And this is the other thing that got me about this.
I think you need to be drunk when you watch it.
And this is the other thing that got me about this movie was, and this is a minor spoiler, but it's not a spoiler for the actual film, but just a minor spoiler for those who haven't seen the film. But Langdon is blocked every step of the way, of course, because the Vatican doesn't want anything to do with him, you know, as usual. And he actually proves, finally, by finding the first church and the first bishop, that, of course, his theory must be right. And, of course, they go, we'll go somewhere else and do something.
Yeah.
And they leave him alone. And it's like, but I just found the first one. So at that point, don't you think they would have followed him anywhere if he was right the first time up?
Oh, David, rhetorical.
Look.
logic, I don't think, is a big player.
No, and that is the problem
with
this film.
An example of a logic vacuum.
And that is the
problem. Yeah, but I mean, we watch bloody 007. I mean, I not
what
that
mean
I'm
we white man. Oh no, I did watch it.
But I mean, you suspend disbelief at the door, yeah, right? But I go on the ride, and this guy's going to run around Rome.
No. I didn't watch it before until Daniel Craig took over, because I'm in love with Daniel Craig. So don't tell me we white man, because I never watched Roger Moore.
All right, look, I think we'll summarize this by saying that
I do have to say I like Tom Hanks. I do like Tom Hanks.
I do too, but you know,
and he got a haircut. What?
This character in the book is something like 20 years younger than bloody Tom Hanks playing him. And this is, you know...
But Tom is ageless.
It's ridiculous.
But...
The end tells him with a wink and a nod that she's good at yoga, whatever.
Yeah, but Katrina, to be fair, a film that you and I both really liked, Constantine... In the actual source material,
he's
blonde and British, exactly. And so we allow them to modify our characters.
And
a
in
little
the source
bit.
Material, G.I. Except Joe is a doll.
We don't want them to.
On that note, I think we're going to wrap this up. First of all, I'll just summarize by saying that if you go see Angels and Demons, it is...
Drink first.
Look, drink heavily. It is a bit of a fun
Take
ride. It is
and a map of Rome and a little tiny torch for your fellow cinema goers to enjoy you trying to follow where they're going.
Look, it's a fun ride. Just don't...
No. Go to the cinema with the front page of Lord of the Rings and follow the trail.
Now, let me get this out. Let me get this out, Katrina. I was about to say it's a fun ride, but don't think about it too much. If you try and analyze this film in any way, shape, or form, you will realize that the film doesn't hold any kind of water.
It makes no sense.
At all. Now, I just wanted to share with you one last thing before we go. I'm just trying to find it here online. This is that site I was talking about, runpee.com. I think my favorite pee break in the Run Pee catalog is for Hannah Montana, the movie.
Oh.
And it actually says, go home right after the previews and pee for as long as you please in the comfort of your own home. You won't miss anything. And on that note, I will say thank you for joining me, Katrina. It's been lovely, even though you went silent on us for a few minutes there, but that's all right.
Myself out.
And I want to say thank you, Mirren, for joining us on your vacation while you're up here.
Thank you for having me.
And for all of you out there.
Thank you for being here. Love you, Katrina.
Love you, Katrina. We'll talk to you soon, yeah?
Hey.
Hey, and I hope your back gets better soon.
But I will actually go and see films this week.
Yeah, me
what
too.
A good idea. We got to drag Mirren to Star Trek.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it. I'm going to go see it.
Because everybody should go see Star Trek, because all of life's questions are answered in Star Trek. Oh, whatever.
You don't see enough Star Trek.
You don't see enough movies. Everybody go see more movies. All of life's questions are answered in the movies. And we will talk to you more next week, hopefully on time.
Bye.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually episode.
Good evening.
Good evening. No, sorry.
I know.
It's weird doing it at night. That's the problem. We're doing it at night and we're doing it on a Sunday. This is just...
We are doing it in a crypt.
I feel like we should be playing spooky Danny Elfman music and moving in. Anyway, yeah, we'll try again.